Welcome to the conference. Please note, today's call is being recorded. Please stand by.
Natalie?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, is that our cue to start, or is there...
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, this is Karen Pace, and as I said, Karen Johnson and Lisa Montali are here with me at NQF. I'm just going to quickly once again say who's on the call. I think almost everyone is here. We have our co-chairs, Patrick Romano and Liz DeLong. We also have John Berkmeyer, Dale Bratzler, Nancy Dunton, Liz Goldstein, Sherry Kaplan, Dave Shaheen, Steve Wright, and Alan Zeslavsky. So I think we'll go ahead and begin. We have quite a bit to discuss. I want to thank you all for your the TEP for all of your reviews and suggested changes. We've tried to incorporate all of those changes to the best of our ability, but certainly if we've gotten something wrong or something that needs further discussion, we are more than welcome to hear that from you and encourage you to definitely let us know. The purpose of the call today is to twofold, really, to review the public comments we received and also to you know, make sure that we had made the appropriate changes based on the TEP additional review of the posted document as well. And we'd like to really focus today's call on making sure that we have the key recommendations and criteria correct, because those are ultimately the things that will be used in the future to help us evaluate composite performance measures, and certainly, you know, additional edits to the report we welcome, but we can maybe do some of those offline so that we make sure that we use this time to discuss and resolve any issues. Before I get started, I want to see if Patrick or Liz want to make any overarching comments or suggestions for the call.
Well, I don't actually. I mean, I have to be honest that with the holidays and so forth, I really haven't had a chance to look at what you folks sent out yesterday. So I apologize for that in advance. But we'll look forward to your orienting us. And I think that, you know, we may have some additional comments as we talk about things and after this call as well.
Okay, great. Liz?
Likewise, I haven't been able to get through all of the work you've done, but I think you've teed things up nicely, so I think it'll be a very productive discussion.
Okay, so thank you all, and I'll just ask if any of the other TEP members have any kind of key burning issues that we need to make sure that we've got on the agenda to get to today. Okay, well, why don't we proceed then, and we will certainly feel free to interject at any point. But we tried to, in the briefing memo, we identified kind of five key themes for discussion, and we'll go through those first, and then certainly if there are any additional comments or draft responses that you'd like to address or any other issues in the report, we'll be glad to do that. But one of the first things we wanted to discuss is the definition of a composite and clearly identifying what types of measures should be classified as a composite performance measure. And on page 4 of the report, we have the definitions, and actually this was an area where we had several suggestions from the TEP to rewrite that paragraph. So we need to confirm that we have the correct definition of a composite performance measure, and if you're satisfied with the rewrite of that paragraph about a composite performance measure. So basically, we still have that a composite performance measure is a combination of two or more individual performance measures. resulting in a single measure that results with a single score. So, and then we have the rewrite of that paragraph. And again, if we find that we need more time, we will certainly adjust as we go through the call today. If possible, our timeline was to take final recommendations to the CSAC on next Tuesday, but I think that will depend on whether we identify things that need further review and discussion by the TEP as we go through today.
Karen?
Yes.
I'm just a general question. I'm just curious why the timeline on this project seems so incredibly aggressive, you know, given the holidays, both the Thanksgiving and the Christmas and New Year's holidays. It seems like that the timeline is sort of marching forward without respecting those natural time breaks. I was just curious if there's some particular pressure that this has to get done next week or...
It's a good question. From the beginning, this project was it had to do with our funding cycle, and there was a lot of pressure to get this done by the end of the year, which obviously wasn't possible. So then it was moved to the first CSAC meeting of the year. But you know, we definitely hear you, and I had some discussions with Heidi this morning, and that's why I mentioned that, you know, and maybe we should have that discussion first. If the TEP really feels that you haven't had adequate time to look at any of these latest materials, we can certainly, you know, I've gotten approval that we could push this to the February CSAC meeting, which would give us a little more breathing room. So maybe I should just first hear whether, you know, everyone is feeling that pressure and that we should kind of move to Plan B or how others feel about that.
Actually, I think Patrick, this is Liz, I think Patrick makes a good point, but without going through the document to elicit comments, I'm not sure we have a good sense of whether we should delay. I mean, I think we all feel probably we will, but maybe your agenda was put in the appropriate chronology.
This is Alan. I had a similar reaction. I think we should go on with our business, and you know, we're not just keeping in mind that we're not necessarily going over any kind of cliff if we can't resolve every issue, but do our best to do it and then decide at the end whether we still have enough unresolved issues that we really need some more time.
That sounds fair to me.
Okay. Thank you all. So we'll, and Elisa has up on the webinar the section of the report that we're talking about in terms of the definition and rewrite. So the next, so I'll just pause there before I move on, and then we can, you know, definitely we can always come back because some of these things will be interrelated.
Can I ask about that definition?
Yes.
I realize it's threading a complicated, you know, a tight line there between using anything that puts together more than one thing and calling it a composite and requiring, you know, at the other extreme, that every composite be made of things that could stand by themselves. But it is this phrase, each of which can individually be used to assess the quality of healthcare services, is that a lower standard than being potentially endorsable? I guess someone asked.
I guess. I'm glad you pointed out that was one of our questions. Someone had suggested that we add that language, each of which can individually be used to assess the quality of healthcare services, and wanted to make sure that didn't kind of lead to the conclusion that each had to be individually endorsed, because your recommendations have been that we don't require that each component be individually endorsed. So that is one of our questions of whether we need that phrase in there, and really wanted to have some discussion about that.
So I'm trying to think of examples. You know, so we have, for example, the CAPS composites, which is near and dear to me, which I think you could say that they are, you know, each item in the composite could be considered a measure of healthcare quality. Separate assessments of healthcare quality.
Right, and the CAPS is also, the CAPS composite instrument is a composite, but the performance measures relate to one domain. So this is one of those areas where it gets a little confusing, and what we've tried to identify is that there's a distinction between a composite performance measure and a composite instrument or scale. You know, the terminology of composite is used in a variety of ways. but I think what we're trying to get at here is about the performance measure, and a composite scale or instrument may or may not end up being used in a composite performance measure, depending on how, it, you know, it's actually used.
Well, let's take another example, one of these all or nothing measures.
Right.
Well, you know, administering antibiotics, checking for allergies, you know, I don't know, 8 different things you might do when you're doing surgery. Each of them is a measure of performance. I don't know that they're any more or less of a composite than the 4 items in the Getting Clear Quickly composite of CAPS.
Well, I would say I like this wording because ultimately it's up to the measure developer to decide what constitutes an individual performance measure. So if you were to say that those component processes, prescribing the correct antibiotic, prescribing it on time, stopping it on time, so forth, if you were to say that each of those is an individual measure, then the definition is satisfied. Similarly with CAPS, if you were to say that each of those components is a measure that measures something of interest, it could stand on its own as a measure, then satisfies the definition. On the other hand, if you say that these 4 questions are really just ways of getting at a single concept, and it doesn't make sense to look at the 4 questions individually because they're all designed to get at the same concept, that would be different. That would be that wouldn't satisfy the definition.
I'm just not sure that gives enough guidance to the either the committee or you know the staff taking an application or to the person submitting the measure.
I'm confused because now, for me, the language performance means the act of doing something, and you don't think of you know patient's health status as a performance of the healthcare system. It certainly could be used in that context. But if that's what's meant by performance, I think that's the thing I'm getting hung up on because, you know, while all of that's true, Alan, that individual, like the 3 or 4 items that measure communication and CAPS are intended to measure communication, individually, the point, as is pointed out on page 10, of doing composite measures is to improve precision around a construct. And if you're trying to measure a single construct with multiple items, is that what's, is this paragraph really helping to delineate the difference between that and making a composite out of ordering annual hemoglobin A1Cs, checking feet annually, doing eyes, blah, 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 all of which are intended to reflect the quality of diabetes care? So this doesn't help me. I mean, maybe this is using language that I'm not privy to, and maybe this is Alvin Feinstein again messing around with us with clinometrics versus psychometrics, but... This language here isn't helping me.
Sherry, are you talking about the which language are you talking about now? That on page 4 about the insert of each of which can individually be used to assess the quality?
Yes, I get that, because it, to me, the like if you should do annual eye exams on diabetics, period. You know,
okay,
that should be done. If you're creating a composite around diabetes care, then adding more things to that composite help you understand whether or not the construct quality of diabetes care is being enhanced or not by the addition of more of those individual items. But if you're reflecting an individual construct using, I mean, for me, there's no difference in that. The performance thing is what's hanging me up. I don't get the difference between multi-item measures of dimensions within CAPS versus multi-item measures of diabetes care.
Well, I think perhaps, I mean, we talk about performance measures as measures of the performance of the healthcare system, and that's a generally used terminology in NQF documents. But maybe that parenthetical reference to CAPS and PHQ-9 is confusing, because as I think Alan and Sherry have pointed out, CAPS could be viewed as a composite performance measure. Would it be clearer if we took out that parenthetical statement and basically just just stuck with the theoretical concept?
I think you should take it out.
Okay. Yeah, cross out the parenthetical there. Okay. All right, so we can, I think, do that easily and leave in the language we've just been talking about. And let's move on to a...
Karen?
Yes.
Another thing I might say is, respecting what Sherry and Alan are saying, is that I think that multi-item instruments and scales about experience with care can, in fact, constitute performance measures. So
yes,
somehow we need to tweak the first part of that paragraph, again, maybe simplifying it, to make it clearer that, well, these things could be performance measures. I mean, ultimately, it's up to the developer to declare whether it's intended to be used as a performance measure
right,
or not.
But, yes, but I guess this is where I need to bring in some of the language from the recent PRO project, is that the instrument itself is not a performance measure. There has to be some aggregation of those individual level items into an actual performance measure. So we've been trying to make clear that NQF doesn't endorse the CAPS or endorse the PHQ-9. What we endorse is performance measures that use data from those instruments. So the instrument itself does not equate to a performance measure unless you've figured out how to aggregate that into a performance measure.
Well, that's, of course, a very gray line, because the performance measure is based on a particular instrument. But anyway, respecting that line,
yeah,
certainly we can have the terminology consistent with what's in the PRO report.
Right. Okay. Good point. We will do that. Yes, it is a gray line, because the measure specifications will indicate which instrument the data are coming from. That's kind of analogous to, for example, if you were using data from the nursing home MDS or the home health OASIS, it specifies, you know, the standardized data collection. But we will kind of reference or use that terminology from the PRO report. Okay. The next thing that we wanted to, related to this or continuing on from this, is that the types of composite measure discussion you know, we've all acknowledged and had in this report that, you know, there's no one way or good way to categorize the various approaches to composite measure development. However, we did receive some questions and comments, and given that we have specific criteria that are going to be applied to composite performance measures, the question has come up of, you know, how are we going to consistently ensure that those things that really are composite performance measures are identified as such so that those additional criteria are applied. So it's not as simple as just letting each measure developer decide, because that may not end up in consistent application of these additional criteria. So we wanted to, you know, bring this back to you. We've drafted some language here, which is new, so obviously it's something that's going to need your review and thoughts about, but, you know, the question is, you know, how do we decide that the measure really should have the, you know, the additional analyses and evaluation that we're putting forth for composite performance measures? So what we tried here is to give some examples of what would be a discuss what is a composite performance measure, what would not be classified, and then, you know, where we really had some questions that we thought merited just confirmation one way or the other from all of you. One of the commenters specifically questioned measures that use the shrinkage estimators, or, you know, based on the hierarchical model that combine, you know, the provider performance plus an average performance, whether it's the overall average or the average based on some other categorization. The any or none kind of multiple complications, that's another one that, you know, we've talked about, but we just need your thoughts about guidance from both, for both staff and steering committee members, because I think, you know, that is one, and that's also one of the issues that we identified in terms of our current experience, is that there's kind of uneven, inconsistent identification of what is a composite performance measure. So I'm going to stop there and see what your thoughts are in terms of being able to provide some guidance.
This is Alan. It seems to me that the essence of what we've been talking about in this committee, this TEP, has been combining information that represents either multiple concepts and or multiple measurement systems into a single measure. And some of the things you've listed there do require special kinds of attention, but they aren't the kind of thing we've been discussing. So, in particular, the use of the shrinkage estimators with hierarchical modeling, you definitely want people to look at that who are familiar with the statistical principles and so forth, but I don't think it's a composite measure in the sense we've been talking about. It's generally a single measure that's a single concept for a single data source. The kinds of things we've been talking about are really where, you know, you're putting together a survey measure and a clinical measure, or you're putting together several related concepts but not things that are measured by the same set of items. And so I think we should restrict this to that kind of thing, and leave the others to perhaps be addressed in some other exercise.
I'd like to follow up. This is John Berkmeyer. At our face-to-face meeting, we discussed how to consider shrinkage estimators in the context of composites, and specifically we talked about the example of a measure that was endorsed by NQF under a different category by the LeapFrog group a couple years ago that involved mortality rates shrunk to volume-weighted means. I think that the key distinction in whether something counts as own composite measure is whether there's two or more input measures. A one-dimensional single outcome measure that simply gets shrunk should not count as own composite measure. So if all you were doing was reliability adjusting measures of mortality to the overall population-based mean, I completely agree that that's not own composite. If you are considering, however, for example, both mortality and volume in a single measure that results in a new indistinct score, well, then I would argue that that does, in fact, count as a composite measure, and even more so if there's multiple measures that are going into a hierarchical model being shrunk and ultimately spitting out a single score.
I'd agree with that.
This is Liz. I agree. Those are my thoughts exactly, that the shrinkage is really a methodology and not a definition of a composite measure.
This is Sherry. Adjustment is different from adding more things to estimate a complex construct. So I think we're all talking about adjusting single item measures in various different ways. But, you know, if you add more to the adjuster, who cares? That's an adjuster. It's not adding precision because you're trying to develop a complex construct. And for me, the first exception under their single performance measures based on patient scores from a composite instrument or scale, I don't understand why that's not a composite measure. I mean, just because you concocted a single score out of it, it's still a composite measure. The Framingham risk score under this criterion wouldn't be a composite measure. It certainly is.
Okay.
Well, to get to Sherry's point, again, it depends on whether the individual components of that Framingham score are treated as separate measures, as separate performance measures. And if they are, then the Framingham score becomes a composite. If they're not, if the score's only value is as a score, not as a set of components, then it's not a composite. I mean, by the NQF definition. Because otherwise, every measure becomes a composite. You know, it becomes impossible to draw a line.
That risk score was a bad example because it includes age, and I don't think we can influence age too much. But so that's more like an adjuster than anything else. But say you were going to have cardiometabolic risk factor score, and you created it out of lipid levels and you know hemoglobin A1C and this and that, and you put it together as a composite. That certainly counts. And
yes.
Just because you treated it as a single score doesn't make it not a composite.
No, right. So the first line, you know, we need to work on the wording. But again, it's this distinction between, you know, that Patrick's been talking about. Are the items trying to get at one concept or multiple concepts? So I think, you know, we need to be more clear about how we describe that. But going back to John Berkmeyer's point, so would you see that the because you shrunk back to an average for a volume group versus the overall average, you're saying that you would see that as a composite? And the question is, it's not just about terminology, but whether these new criteria apply to it. So you would see that the additional criteria, primarily about 2D, where you have to have analysis of the component measures, the aggregation and weighting rules, and that those things would apply to that type of performance measure versus obviously what you would have to, you know, do for any risk-adjusted outcome measure.
This is Dave Sheehan. I think we may be heading down a very slippery slope here because the distinction that John, I think, correctly makes for some measures where the particular procedure, for example, has a demonstrable, very strong volume effect, would not be a reasonable distinction to make in situations where there is not a strong volume effect. Shrinking to the overall mean versus a volume-specific mean will have different implications depending on those two scenarios. I think that may be a fairly complex argument for some of these committees to follow.
But Dave, this is John. I totally agree with your point, but I don't think that it's relevant to the question about whether it counts as O composite. But I think that the problem that you just described should bear heavily on the adjudication process and whether that composite was ultimately endorsed by NQF. If there was a scenario whereby endorsers were proposing measures that were a roll-up of, say, mortality and volume for a procedure for which volume simply didn't matter, there would be no demonstrable advantage of adding volume to that measure, and sort of a thoughtful adjudicator wouldn't endorse that above and beyond the existing independent measure of mortality.
So what if you were doing some other kind of shrinkage to some other average character, so an average based on some other characteristics? So what if you chose that you were going to get the average for all community hospitals versus academic medical centers and use that as your basis for the average for shrinkage? Would that constitute a composite then, or?
I still see that as methodology. It's one input that's being adjusted for the type of hospital. It's not being incorporated into a composite of other things that are related to performance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, not to sound like a broken record, but it gets back to the argument of whether that factor that's being used in the shrinkage is itself interpretable as a performance measure.
Okay.
And it is the case that volume itself is used as a performance measure in some context, and in fact, NQF has endorsed some volume indicators as performance measures. I don't think that anybody would endorse hospital ownership as a performance measure.
Right.
So if you're simply shrinking based on hospital ownership, that would be in the adjustment category. If you're shrinking based on some structural characteristic of the hospital that is construed and interpreted as a performance measure, then that becomes a composite, and it becomes important to show that compositing those two measures, that using volume for shrinkage, as John has suggested, actually improves the reliability of the scores at the end.
And just to avoid confusion, what we're talking about here is not adjustments. Adjustment would be, for example, if you try to remove the effect of something such as patient risk factors in the prediction of mortality. What we're talking about is basically creating a kind of a composite of a structural measure and an outcome measure, which is, you know, a valid thing, but it's definitely mixing together things that are conceptually different and come
right
from different sources, and I think that's clearly a composite and would have to be justified, as several people have commented, by showing that the thing that's entering the composite is actually a performance, you know, a sensible performance measure.
However, some people do refer to that as a reliability adjustment.
Well, the reliability adjustment piece, it's nothing to do with adjustment in the sense of risk adjustment. It's just
I know.
The weight
yeah
in the composite.
Right.
Based on the reliability of the two measures.
Yeah. just to make a slightly more general comment here.
Good.
So I would just encourage us to try to minimize the emphasis on additional analyses and evaluation. In other words, I think what we've been saying in our, both our in-person meeting and in discussions is that composites require different metrics, not necessarily additional metrics, but they require different metrics to evaluate them. So I don't know if there's a way of tweaking some of the language to recognize that, you know, specifically in the reliability domain, we're no longer concerned about the reliability of the individual components. Now we're concerned about the reliability of how they work together as a composite. So it's calling something a composite shifts the focus of attention, but it doesn't really add to the analytic or evaluative burden. It just shifts it.
Well, I mean, according to the way we have this and have the discussions have gone, is that we have the reliability and validity of the composite performance measure, but 2D is about justifying the components and the way it's put together as a composite. So that it would be additional analyses that you're so unless, I mean, if we've
If you're
suggesting that we don't have, that all they have to do is the reliability and validity of the final performance measure, that's different than the way we thought you all were going. So,
well, just to play this out a little bit, so one of your examples here has to do with the multiple complications list, and so this is an area that I know something about. So, you know, we have a number of indicators. A single indicator that includes a whole set of IC9CM codes within it, and we happen to call it postoperative hemorrhage or hematoma, for example. And by virtue of the title, it includes both hemorrhage and hematoma. We have postoperative deep vein thrombosis or pulmonary embolism. By virtue of the title, it includes both deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolism. We label that as a single measure, but as the panel reviews, it has to decide whether it makes sense for DVT and PE to be included in a single measure. For composites, it's really no different. If we then put DVT and PE together with postoperative hemorrhage or hematoma, now an expert panel has to decide whether it makes sense to put those two concepts together. So It's really, there's no bright line here. I don't see a bright line. Ultimately, it comes down to how the developer chooses to label the measures and to promote the use of the measures.
This is Sherry. I think I'm getting a little lost again on the principles, because the principles are, if you're measuring a complex construct and you're using more than one thing to measure that complex construct because by its nature it's complex, then you have to have a conceptual basis for doing that. You have to have your head screwed on when you're putting these things. Can't add up apples and airplanes. But I thought the purpose of this section was to say, okay, then you got to test whether you were right. You know, you have to start with some conceptual basis, and then you do have to do the additional testing to see if you were right, and if the things that collectively you think measure some more higher-order abstract concept actually do hang together and reflect that in some empirical testing. So, Patrick, I agree with you, but I think that at some level we're losing the plot here.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that that we should think about really just the same. It's the same fundamental criteria that are being applied. It's just that the criteria have to be applied in a somewhat different way, when we label a measure as a composite. That's all.
I sort of get, in reaction to Sherry's comment, I get back to this idea that if something is done within a single, it's addressing a single concept within a single methodology, then we don't need to bring the composite measure process to bear because you'll have people of expertise on that concept and methodology on a regular review. But if it's more than one concept is being combined or more than one methodology is being used that are dramatically different, like combining structure and outcomes in the composite, then the composite process should be brought into play. Is that helpful? I think that covers the situations we've been talking about. So Sherry does a, you know, psychometric.
I wasn't sure I was clear on that.
Yeah, I don't know, because it kind of we're talking all over the place here in abstractions, and when you get down to actual examples, which is what I thought the NQF was kind of trying to plan for, so that they could screen for things that, you know,
right.
You pick something up, and with the set of criteria, you could say, okay, this is or this is not a composite, and it's very difficult for me to see the difference, Ellen, between, you know, creating a multi-item measure of the same concept, however narrowly it's defined, versus some uber construct that combines structure, process, and outcome in some, you know, overall quality marker. The principles are the same. You still have to test whether or not those things that you collectively said reflect some abstract concept actually do that, and it's somewhat different for when you're combining these uber constructs into a single composite score. But the process, you'd then pick some different method for testing it, like intra-class correlation or something like that, but for reliability. But you'd still have to go through the same process, right?
Well, I think we're trying to figure out, you know, ultimately what we're doing here is going to be directing an application to one or another set of people to look at it with a set of
people. I don't think it's necessarily that. I mean, I think, you know, definitely we recognize that, you know, any complex measure, whether it's an outcome measure with risk adjustment or these composite measures, requires some people with expertise to review them. And that's an issue that NQF has to work out in terms of seating their committees. But the issue, you know, let's look at page 14. We added two, you know, definitely we said that the NQF criteria applied to composite performance measures, but we identified two additional criteria, 1D and 2D, that would have to be met if it was also a composite performance measure. And I think what we're saying is we need to identify, and these criteria will require some additional questions on the submission form in order to apply these criteria. And so we need to know which measures fall into this category that would require this additional information. 1D is more the conceptual and probably is not that big a deal. But I think, as Sherry was saying, that this is to present the conceptual, and then 2D gets into empirical analysis of that conceptual model, however you define the quality construct and the rationale. So, you know, so I, unless,
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me try asking a very practical question and see what the group thinks. So,
okay.
Let's take postoperative complications, which is one of the examples that you raised.
Right.
So CMS has proposed measures of postoperative complications, like for total hip and knee surgery, I think, that include a whole set of different types of complications, infectious complications, thrombotic complications,
right.
Cardiovascular complications, so forth. And they're all put into one list. So they call it a single measure of postoperative complications after total hip surgery or total knee surgery.
Right.
By contrast, AHRQ has developed separate complication measures for postoperative DVT-PE, postoperative hemorrhage, postoperative infection, so forth. And then it's said, okay, well, we're going to put these measures into a composite. We're going to measure each of these at the hospital level, and then we're going to, well, at the patient level, and then aggregate it at the hospital level, and then we're going to construct a composite from these components. So, but they may get to a fairly close approximation of the same place. So, do those get treated differently? Should those get treated differently in the NQF process? Because CMS has chosen to label its measure as a single performance measure of postoperative complications, whereas ARC has chosen to label its measure as a composite of multiple separate performance measures.
Well, that's precisely the question we're asking.
So what do committee members think?
So this is Sherry. So in one case, let me understand better about what's going on. In one case, it's an index, right? You're just adding up a bunch of zero ones. You either had them or you didn't. And so you're creating an index, a performance index.
Right. So each patient ends up as a zero or a one. If they had any of the complications on the list, they end up with a one.
Yeah. So they're a one. And so, and then at the hospital level, you're adding up all of the scores, right? The patient scores. So you can have, you get a one if you're the hospital, if the patient had a DVT or some postoperative hemorrhage or whatever else happened to them.
That's right.
So you can get a one in a variety of different ways.
Yes.
You're getting a single score off of an index. And the other one, I'm confused about how the other one happens. Is it an index in the same way or is it somehow scaled?
No, in the other one, each complication, each type of complication, let's say there are half a dozen different types, gets measured separately, and each patient ends up with a zero or one score on that particular type of complication. And then those scores get summed at the hospital level, and then the hospital gets a composite score. It's a weighted composite based on the six different components.
So Patrick, I'm trying to decide, though, whether I think in either circumstance all of these individual complications are, quote, performance measures, whether you're talking about the ARC composite, as you're describing it, or the CMS performance measure that looks at a list of complications. I guess I'm just struggling to say that in either of those circumstances, those are performance measures. They're counts of events, and they're often termed, you know, patient safety indicators or quality indicators, but I'm not convinced they represent performance measures that would individually stand on their own.
Well, remember that they don't individually have to stand on their own in terms of reliability criteria, for example. Whether this is a discussion that obviously can be held within individual steering committees, but the way ARC has defined its composite, it is a composite of individual performance measures. So I just want to make sure that we're all okay with this distinction, that the CMS measure is a single measure because it's a single list of complications, and it's scored 0-1 for each patient, whereas the ARC approach is a composite because it is bringing together six different performance scores on different component measures.
This is Sherry. The NASDAQ index is a composite. It's called a composite, and I think we're getting into sort of semantic, you know, details here that may or may not be ultimately helpful to NQF. But I think if I were looking at this, I'd say this is not that much different from what NASDAQ does. So let's call both of them the same and subject them to the same issues. If you're going to add up all of these different things and call them complications, you know, undesirable complications from whatever, and you're going to call that a quality indicator, then it's the same thing as adding up 0, 1. Did you get an annual eye exam and an annual foot exam and all that stuff? So for me, the two things, are both of them are composites.
Yeah, well, that's exactly my question.
And I see it. I see the opposite. I really think that one observation per patient is a single performance measure, whereas when you look at several observations per patient and then combine them, you've got a composite.
Right, but we've already been a little, and this, there's several areas of inconsistency, because when we talk about on the positive side of doing things like the all or none measures are one observation per patient, and we've said that those would be composites. So,
oh, we did?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I
yeah. Well, and I mean, this is, you know, this has raised questions on multiple levels. So, you know, that, it, so, you know, this.
Composites based on the argument that the individual components are performance measures themselves.
Right. Right. And I think it's not some, you know, it may not be an issue if, you know, in Patrick's example, if one was considered a composite and the other not, where we would really run into problems if CMS has a list of post-op comps for total hip and knee and submits them as a single measure, whereas another developer doing a list of complications for some other procedure and submits them as a composite. I mean, so we need to have some consistency if we really want them to do, whether we call them additional analyses or work these into the criteria. And perhaps we need to go with the simplest definition where we have the, you know, two or more performance measures or two or more measures or two or more concepts. I don't know how you want to do that, regardless of how it's combined, whether it's at the patient level with one observation per patient or, you know, computed performance measures. But we need, you know, some guidance, because that's one of the things that, you know, obviously there are still questions about as we're talking about this.
This is Sherry again. What's the dark side of being erring on the simplicity? So are you going to get pushback from the measures developers?
Potentially, but I think there's probably more dark side to having inconsistency continue. So, you know, but yes, that could be one. That's why I keep asking about the additional analyses. And, I, you know, if we've mischaracterized what goes into 1D and 2D as things that would be additional information submitted for composites, then that's another thing we would have to revisit. But the way we've been reading this and thinking about it is that there would be some additional information and analyses that would accompany a composite. So that could be some pushback there, yes.
This is John Berkmeyer. I, on the one hand, I agree with Sherry's point question, at least, about what the harm is about over-inclusiveness. But certainly from a practical level, I would imagine that NQF would want to make sure that, you know, that its methodologic expertise in composite measures, like, was optimally concentrated on measures that really needed their input, and certainly some need them more than others. I have to say, just at a gut instinct level, I have trouble viewing as composite measures those that, count as a one at the patient level if any of a list of things have occurred. And I think the easiest example is the surgical complication case. You know, certainly, it's not a composite measure, if you get coded as a complication, if you had one of 20 different things happen, that's the way that, you know, morbidity has traditionally been defined in surgery, and nobody has ever called it a composite measure. I would view a composite measure instead as one in which a proposer, in which a developer was putting forward a measure that was some new surgical morbidity index, where there was not only a list of complications that that were considered at the patient level, but that there was like some weighting or some aggregation that was more innovative than simply presence or absence. And I appreciate that this is kind of a slippery slope, and that this surgical complication example is simply just the flip side of the all or none question for process of care measures. But nonetheless, it just doesn't have a lot of traction here.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I pose this as a devil's advocate question, but I would suggest that maybe the way through this is that the CMS measure is going to be evaluated by clinicians according to the clinical concept of whether these are all complications that ought to be counted as complications. Whereas the ARC composite has to be evaluated from the analytic perspective of whether it analytically makes sense to put together these six different component scores into a single score. So from that standpoint, I think I agree with Liz that there is a distinction, and that the focus in the CMS case is going to be sort of entirely on the clinical concept and whether these things hang together, whereas in the ARC case, there really has to be an analytic component of whether the pieces hang together analytically. I don't know if that helps at all.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that, Patrick. I just have real concerns about being too broad here, because NQF would then be faced with every single survey tool, every single measure that rolled up a group of complications or single events that weren't necessarily distinct performance metrics would then be counted as a composite, and I think that would be overwhelming for NQF and would get a lot of pushback from the measure development community.
And I'm in agreement with you there. I do think that if we're going to require additional analyses for composites, we have to be somewhat restrictive in what we call a composite.
Was that Sherry or Liz?
Liz.
Okay.
I'm not sure Sherry and I are in total agreement.
Actually, I'm still struggling with the distinction, because I really think that in the case where you're adding up a bunch of things that you say reflect surgical complications, absolutely the first thing you must do is make sure they make sense to the experts, that those are, in fact, reflecting a cluster of things that collectively reflect complications as a result of surgery. Then when you go adding them all up to reflect performance of a hospital, you better test whether or not they actually distinguish one hospital from another on some dimension you call quality of care. So I still think that you should hold everybody to that standard, and I don't think you're going to get swamped. I think that people who create these collectives, different from people who submit individual measures, are not going to flip out over this. But you know, that's NQF's call.
Okay. We'll have to digest that a little bit more, I think. And see if we can summarize your discussion and come to something that we can at least try in terms of moving forward. I hear your, the discussion about the similarities and the differences and which result in the best approach forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think what all of us are saying is that it is hard to draw a bright line between composite measures and non-composite measures. And therefore, it behooves us in general to emphasize the choosing the appropriate metrics for evaluative purposes, and perhaps trying to avoid getting too hung up over whether something is defined as a composite or not. I know that's difficult, but that's the challenge.
Okay. Maybe what we can do is, I'm going to diverge a little bit, because I think it will help us maybe as we think through this, is to specifically look at 1D and 2D, because this really would be the additional areas for composite performance measures, and we need to make sure we have that right, and then we can think of, you know, it may help us as we're thinking about some of the examples we've been talking about. Maybe that will help us distinguish. But we thought for 1D, which is that for composite performance measures, that we wanted a clear and logical statement of the quality construct, which would include the representativeness of the component measures and the relationship of the component measures to the composite and to each other. The second was the rationale for constructing a composite measure, including how it provides distinctive or additive value over the component measures individually. And thirdly, how the aggregation and weighting of the component measures are consistent with and representative of the stated quality construct and rationale. So we had one question from the ATEP member whether we really needed the second item, the rationale, though I think this is where the whole decision-making context might come into play here. Or at least that's how we have it written up in the text. So a couple things is, first of all, what of these do we need for a composite performance measure? And secondly, our understanding is that the really evaluative component for in terms of when a steering committee would look at this is really only that it's clearly stated and logical. But this would then fall in, we'll get to 2D, is where the empirical analysis related to these come in. So I guess the first thing is this correct, that we would want a description of the quality construct, the rationale, and how the aggregation and weighting are consistent? So I'll stop there.
Well, personally, I like it. I think 2 is just really an add-on to 1. I mean, it's really just a further explanation and elaboration of 1. So I think it makes sense. But
yeah, and this is Dale. I agree. I thought it was reasonable.
Okay.
In a way, it's just a restatement of things that you would take for granted in a single narrow measure, but that someone might fail to do with a composite measure. So it's reiterating the importance of something we already need.
So, Liz, I think you had a question about number 2, the rationale, and whether that was necessary, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more of whether you thought that was just part of the quality construct and we didn't need to elaborate it, or whether we should pull it out as a idea.
Well, I'm afraid I'm sort of flying solo here in that I'm probably the only person who doesn't think that the quality of care basically overrides the audience for which this is intended. I kind of see quality of care as quality of care, and if it's from the patient perspective or the physician's perspective or the payer's perspective, it still should reflect some level of quality, and that's where I'm coming from.
Okay. Yes, and that gets into that whole decision-making context that we talked
but
about.
But I don't think that that alters the concept that there should be a particular rationale for constructing the composite and demonstrating its value.
Well, in my realm, the value is whether it leads to better outcomes.
Well, that would be an acceptable statement under number 10.
I mean, better outcomes are better outcomes regardless of who's paying or who's watching.
And I'm always afraid to say anything here, but, you know, so I agree in concept that we want better outcomes with composite measures. That seems to make a lot of sense. I think for a lot of composite measures, probably many that are in use, there's not a lot of great evidence that you can demonstrate improved outcomes. So you take a group of individual measures for which there's good trial evidence that doing this is the right thing to do for patients, and it seems to make sense that if you roll them up and do them all well, that you should see better patient outcomes. But I just think that sometimes that's very difficult to demonstrate, either from a review of the literature or in any short-term pilot of these performance metrics, because you're rolling up these composites in the real world, not in the clinical trial, and requiring that evidence makes it a very difficult thing to prove sometimes. So
I absolutely agree with you. Basically, what I'm saying is that the goal is better outcomes.
Sure.
I think the demonstration of better outcomes is something we discuss in another section, and that that is more tenuous, but the goal is always better outcomes.
Well, the goal is not always limited to better outcomes, though. I mean, we do, I mean, I don't want to get into a broader philosophical issue, but we do believe that patients should have a positive experience in the healthcare system, even if that cannot be directly demonstrated to lead to better outcomes. We think that it's likely to do so, and we think that we're in a service industry where it is important for people to have a good experience with care. So there may be other objectives of the measurement enterprise besides simply improving outcomes.
Yeah, I could talk a while on that one. I do think that's analogous to students rating their professors. But I'll let you have that.
I think the issue here is more what's the rationale, you know, and why do we have NQF? It's to have better outcomes, but that doesn't mean that every measure that concerns things that NQF looks at, it makes sense as a way of grouping the information. So, you know, you could put together a composite of diabetic foot exams, appropriate antibiotics for people who come in with respiratory infections, and proper preparation of anesthesia. We wouldn't call that a good composite, even though they're all things that contribute to better outcomes, because they don't correspond to an appropriate grouping of smaller concepts into a larger concept that provides value to people looking at the information. And the kinds of composites we justify are things that have a more specific rationale, like we're putting together things that are responsibilities of the same party in healthcare, or putting together things that affect outcomes for a particular type of patient, or putting together things that affect a particular type of outcome, something that provides a more specific rationale than the general one for that applies to any measure we might construct. And that's, I think, what two is getting at.
Yeah, I think that's nicely described, and it really points us to what analyses reviewers will be looking for in evaluating the composite.
Okay, so let's then move on to 2D, because this is where the additional analyses and evaluation come in, because we've talked about reliability and validity, need to focus on the performance measure, and I know there were some questions about validity that we can come back to, but I want to stick with this composite analysis for the moment. So 2D, again, would be something that would be inserted that was specific for composite performance measures. And the first element of that is that the component measures fit the quality construct and add value to the overall composite. Several of you suggested we take out the necessary. And we can talk about whether we still need to talk about achieving the related objective of parsimony, but I think the question is here, should there be analysis that demonstrate the component measures fit the quality construct that's described under 1D? And the second element was that the aggregation of analyses that demonstrate the aggregation and weighting rules are consistent with the quality construct and rationale. And the third is about the extent of missing data. Because when you get into these complex measures, that can be problematic. One of the things that came up in discussion with the CSAC and, in the maybe in some of the comments is about what are some examples of what these analyses would be. And so, again, in the guidance column, we tried to pull some things that were already in the text into examples, but I think we want to start first with, are these things that need to be demonstrated for a composite performance measure or not? And if so, then we can look at the examples.
Unusual, we're speechless.
Well,
so can go on.
So if the component, maybe it would help to talk about examples. So, do the component measures fit the quality construct? So, we talked about if the components are correlated, then analyses might be based on shared variations, such as factor analysis, item total correlation, and inter-item correlation, that really indicates these things hang together. If the components are not correlated, then analyses demonstrating the empirical contribution of each component to the composite score might be something that could be considered, or clinical justification, such as correlation of the individual component measures to a common outcome measure. I think it's a little less clear and, a little more problematic to think about what those analyses would be if the component measures are not based on that underlying correlation. But I think if we're going to say composite measures need to, defend their construction, that we have to talk about both components and the weighting. And I'll just say, we've skipped over it, but we've already addressed that each component should meet the evidence criterion, which is the clinical evidence of why you would even be considering that. This really is getting at the empirical analysis that these things do work together or should be in the component, in the composite. Sorry.
This is Sherry. One of the things that's missing here for me is some of these things. We're kind of following the, if you if you will, the sort of psychometric language in that sidebar there. Whereas things like interclass correlations, do hospitals behave consistently across patients with respect to quality on these indicators and differ from hospitals who behave differently from them and are also consistent across patients within their kind of constituents?
Right, but that would be under our general reliability analysis.
Right, but you've got sort of item to total correlation, which is in that same realm of somebody who's a psychometrician. So for me, what the weighting thing should demonstrate is the value of weighting should add to the discrimination between units that are being compared. And if it does not, then your rationale is really stuck with whatever conceptual business you have going. But if it's not helping you discriminate one unit being compared from another, then the weighting is not adding value.
It could be based on a criterion outcome measure.
True. I mean, you know, if there is some grounded conceptual basis for doing it, and just because in your particular empirical sample that you didn't sort of demonstrate the value of weighting, and you would in a more robust sample or whatever, that's one concern, and you'd certainly want to keep that in your considerations when you're reviewing the measure. On the other hand, If it consistently doesn't demonstrate any value across multiple different samples you've tested, then the weighting scheme may need to be revisited.
Right. So I guess one way to, or another way to ask this question is if we really hold to and require that composite performance measures do the reliability analysis of, for example, signal to noise, and actually do empirical validity testing, do we need any of 2D? Or do we expand reliability and validity to include some sensitivity analyses about different weighting schemes?
I think it's hard to get all of the possible rationales summarized in bullet points like this, and it may be better to leave them a little general and then have some discussion in text of some of the different rationales that people might have for weighting schemes and for putting together a group of measures in general.
I agree.
But that would be under the rationale, the quality construct and rationale. So our question is, you know, I think everyone agrees that those need to be clearly described. But then is there any additional analyses that have to go with that? Or is it just, does it just come down to showing that the ultimate performance score is reliable and valid? I'm talking about reliability in terms of the signal to noise and that you can actually see differences between providers and, you know, some kind of validity testing. If that would be sufficient, then that simplifies things and it takes away some of the issues we talked about of issues we talked about with whether things are classified as composites or not, because it more clearly fits into our general criteria with the caveat that you really do have to focus on the performance measure, not just, you know, data element reliability, like inter-rater reliability.
Well, we've said there are several different rationales, not all of which we're necessarily going to present, for why you would create a composite. And each of those rationales would have a corresponding set of empirical analyses. So if your rationale is that these are things that are really closely correlated with each other and can well be summarized without losing information, then the analysis is a correlational analysis. if the rationale is that these are all things that are predictive of a particular outcome, then the evidence either from your own data or from the literature on those predictive relationships would be the empirical analysis and so forth.
Okay, so that kind of speaks to that we do need some additional analyses that correlate with those things in 1D, the rationale and the quality construct.
Yeah, but there's, I think it's impossible to summarize them in the bullet points. You know, that maybe in the text we can talk about some of the different rationales for creating quality measures and corresponding empirical analyses to back them up.
Okay, so I guess then the question is, are the you know, for criteria, we do have to be somewhat concise. So are the things under 2D, are those general enough that they encompass what we would be expecting without, you know, getting into the specifics, or does that wording need to be changed in some way? Do we want to know that the component measures fit the quality construct, that there's some analysis that the aggregation and weighting rules fit the construct, and missing data? Are those things that we would want somehow addressed, even if we can't give all of the specifics of how they should do that?
This is John Berkmeyer. I think what you have is pretty good there. I don't think it's overly obtuse, and I think each one of those three criteria are worth putting in there. If you wanted to make it more concise, for me, the first thing to go would be the missing data piece.
Okay.
That's important, but that seems more a trees issue than a forest issue.
This is Sherry. Having a veteran of the missing data problem in composite measures, that's one that actually can really trip you up fast. So I would recommend you leave that one in. The rest of them, to me, look general enough so that if somebody can't figure out, you know, how to do that and apply it, can't they always call you or, you know, ask, is this a one-way street, or is there a help desk at NQF if somebody gets confused?
No, we can, and I guess what we could do, you know, we talked about trying to, over the next several months, try to build out that Appendix B with some examples, and maybe that's where we need to, you know, for now, not try to put it in guidance, but leave it for trying to build examples. But, yes, they can contact us, and we can point them to some relevant expertise. But I think, you know, I guess for now we need to make sure that we have the criteria wording correct if people can live with the 1, 2, and 3 under 2D. Okay, so having talked about 1D and 2D, I'll just see if anything else has occurred to you about our discussion about classifying things, because that's the intent, that things that are classified as composites would have to meet those two additional criteria, 1D elements 1, 2, and 3, and 2D elements 1, 2, and 3. And so, you know, we're not trying to corner the market on the term composite. That's long gone. But in terms of applying these criteria, that's what we need to be concerned about, correct classification, so that we're treating everything equally. All right. Well, we'll let you mull that over a little bit after the call, and maybe we'll take a few minutes to address a couple other key questions, and then we'll have a time for some public comments, and then we'll decide on next steps. But I think related to what we've been talking about is we were asked to come up with a definition of quality construct, and we put that on page, where is that? Page 9. And again, this is kind of new for you to take a look at, so you may not want to talk about it right now. And it's also in the glossary, but it would be the same definition because we talked about a definition of a quality construct, and one of the questions was, well, what do we mean by quality construct? So I'll just point that out to you. What we have down here is a quality construct describes the overall area of quality, for example, quality of CABG surgery, the components of quality, for example, pre-op beta blockade, CABG using an internal mammary artery, CABG risk-adjusted mortality, the conceptual relationships between each component and the composite, and then the relationships among the component measures. And then, obviously, if we had Appendix B done, that would lead them to some examples that we need to build out. But if you have some thoughts now, you can speak up or, you know, maybe mull this over and send us your suggestions of modification or striking or adding things. The other next thing I guess in terms of reliability testing, and this also goes along with our conversations about what is and isn't a composite performance measure, is that our discussion and what we've put into the guidance in the table with related to 2A two, reliability, our general reliability criteria, is that reliability should really focus on the performance measure score, not reliability of individual data elements or individual performance measures that are included. And there's a couple questions here, just to confirm that this also applies to all or none or any or none composite measures as we've been talking about them. And the second thing is that we had under both reliability and validity about the component measures that if they were going to be disaggregated for in accountability applications, then reliability and validity would need to be demonstrated. We had comments from the TEP and from the public commenters of, you know, how is this going to be known? You know, the use of the measures is outside of NQF control. And what we're suggesting is striking that and making clear later on under usability and use that NQF endorsement of the composite measure is for the composite measure, and it doesn't extend to the component measures unless they were individually submitted and reviewed and endorsed as individual performance measures. So we think it would just be cleaner to have this focus on the composite performance measure, and wanted to see if there were any objections or additional thoughts about that.
This is Sherry. This is a little off track, but about the scoring transparency of composites, especially for proprietary measures, is there going to be a way in here somewhere in this document to underscore the importance of transparency of scoring? Because it dawned on me that some of these folks may have proprietary folks may have a measure that they really don't want to reveal the sort of underpinnings of. Is there an imperative in here, or is that not your intent to have the scoring be absolutely transparent?
That's a good question, and I'll tell you in terms of NQF and proprietary measures that If someone submits a proprietary measure or component, a proprietary component to a measure, it has to be totally accessible for the steering committee to evaluate. But after that, if it would be endorsed, you know, they can have fees or licensing requirements regarding the proprietary components. Now, we can say, you know, I don't know to what detail you're talking about. I mean, certainly, you know, we can say that at a minimum, what obviously we wouldn't want just a name of a composite without people having some sense of what's included in the composite. I think that would be totally useless to most people. But in terms of, like, you know, if you were talking about weighting of a risk adjustment model, you know, if that was proprietary, it has to be available for review after endorsement. It's not that it has to be publicly available. They could, you know, it could have some requirements to it.
This is Dave. Sort of just an off the top of my head comment that I think if one submits a measure that's to be used for public reporting and evaluating the performance of providers, that there is almost an ethical responsibility to have all the technical aspects of that measure available to the public. I've taken that stance. I've written editorials about it, and every measure that's come out of the STS, you can see every intercept, every coefficient. And I really think that's a stance that NQF should adopt, but it's kind of off topic.
I don't think it's off topic. I think it was good that Sherry brought it up, and I absolutely agree with you, Dave. This is Liz.
And I think that we can certainly put that in as a recommendation that would need to be addressed by the CSAC and ultimately the board, because I think, you know, it definitely has a broader implications, but it's something that certainly is highlighted when you get into the complexity of composite performance measures. So I think that's certainly something that we can put in here as a recommendation that would need further review and exploration by the CSAC and board, but certainly can be put into the recommendations. Is there anyone that would want to speak to the other side of that or against that recommendation? Okay.
This is Dave again. Could I go back? I was on mute for a while, and
okay.
you brought up the question of quality construct, and I just wanted to get some clarification.
Yes.
And maybe ask the statisticians to weigh in. But when I think of a quality construct, I am thinking of the underlying unobservable latent construct, which is estimated using observable components of that construct. And that's a different flavor than I get from reading this paragraph. And
okay.
So I'm just wondering, you know, again, ask the statisticians how they feel about that.
Good. Would you suggest then that that's all that needs to be described? Because wouldn't you want some description of what people are considering?
Yeah, but I think it's all lumped together here. So I might have again, I'm asking the statistician,
okay.
But I might have an introductory sentence about, if in fact they agree, an introductory sentence about we're measuring an unobservable. And then how do we measure that? Well, we measure that
okay.
by using individual components, estimating what kind of relationships they have and so forth. I mean, is that – am I off track there?
Well, I'm not a statistician, but I –
For that, I'm still looking in the document for what paragraph you're on.
Okay, it's on page 9. under that quality construct and rationale header.
It's line 15.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, I think we were getting at a broader concept of construct. You know, trying to avoid the clinometric psychometric distinction, but
right.
recognizing that a quality construct does not necessarily have to be an unobservable latent construct in the way that
right.
been defined in some context.
That's fine, as long as that's fine. Yeah, I think it may be confusing for some people who are used to thinking in psychometric terms, but that's fine. Thank you for clarifying.
But certainly, you know, when you get a chance, take a look at that and see if there's some way to make it more clear that we've captured what we would want people to actually describe.
Alan, this is Sherry. Remember when we were having a little dialogue a while back about the point of, you know, creating a composite measure is to, you know, reflect a more complex construct like quality, and I would argue quality is a latent construct. There is no measure of quality. I mean, that's
right.
an abstraction we all made up. But the point of doing creating a composite to reflect quality is to reflect the complex nature of it, that it's multidimensional, it has multiple parts, and the best we can do to serve the health service delivery community in evaluating quality is reflect that in the things we use to measure it within sort of the sub-clusters of quality that are uniquely important, and those change over time, to the healthcare delivery enterprise. So, you know, so it is, for example, you wouldn't use all obstetric measures to reflect quality of care because they reflect quality of care of a very, you know, a subcomponent of it. Same with pediatrics. You wouldn't use, you know, immunizations to reflect quality of care because that's one important part of it, but it's not the whole banana. So, you know, this piece, I sent Alan some language back a while back about maybe putting in here the point of reflecting a quality of care using composite measures versus individual measures is to actually give a more accurate reflection or a better reflection of the complex nature of quality of care.
And we do have that in here somewhere, Sherry, and maybe we can, you know, we may need to pull that into this section as well. So we'll take a look at that.
Yeah, I remember reading that somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think the only thing I'd pick up on a little bit there is when we talk about making a composite measure, I understand the process of compositing. It doesn't necessarily give us a definition of what is a composite measure. You know, going from the specific to the more general summary is compositing. And I think we can describe that process pretty unambiguously. It doesn't answer the question of, you know, when does it become a composite, other than if you've had a bunch of measures already and you put them together, you know that composing them as a composite. I don't want to get hung up on that anymore. I think it just suggests that focusing on the process rather than the outcome with respect to measure development is in some ways gets us out of that bind.
Okay. What do we do?
Karen, I am going to have to step off a few minutes early. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So maybe if you could orient us to sort of in general terms whether you've responded to all of the comments that came in during the comment period or whether there are particular things that we should attend to in our own consideration after the call.
Right. So in the Excel file, and we also put it into a Word document, depending on, you know, your preference for reviewing materials, all of the comments, and we did have draft responses for your consideration. And in the Excel file, we actually highlighted the ones that are some of the things we've already talked about, but really that we were targeted that most interested in having some of the TEPS input. So those are highlighted in the Excel file in yellow. So we, you know, invite you to take a look at that. We tried to address most things in the you know, draft report with either questions in the comment balloons or in actual, you know, red lines. So I think my sense of this call is that we're probably not ready to have a final document to take to CSAC, and that we need to really kind of make sure we have this language right around these issues that we talked about, and get something out to you all with specific questions, perhaps. If you have any suggestions on path forward, we can do that, but that's how we identified particular comments. Do you have any thoughts, Patrick, before you leave us?
No, that sounds good. I just wasn't sure, you know, the extent to which, you know, you had addressed, you know, every one of these comments, or if there were others that required our consideration.
Right. So we did an initial review and kind of a draft response for each one, but certainly subject to your all review. Okay. Maybe before we get into next steps with the TEP, operator, would you open the lines and see if there are any comments from the audience?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please press star 1. Again, that's star 1. You have no questions.
Okay. All right. So, with the TEP, we have a few more minutes left, so maybe we'll just tee up at least one more question or issue that we thought probably needed some resolution, and that's about validity testing. And if we go to the document, the table on page 15, it's 2B2, validity testing. Again, our understanding from the discussions and our initial review of the criteria with you was that validity testing for composite performance measures should be done for the overall composite, not the individual components. However, we talked about that this may not always be feasible at the time of initial endorsement, and in that case, our understanding was that validity of the component measures must meet the NQF criteria, and by endorsement maintenance, have validity of the testing of the composite performance measure so that validity can be demonstrated. So I think we had a question from at least one TEP member about, you know, pressing for empirical validity testing even by the time of endorsement maintenance, one or two comments about the issues of validity testing. And so I just wanted to just bring that up for your review and just to confirm that this is kind of the way we should be progressing. I think some of the discussion we had that resulted in this language was the fact that, you know, how you construct the composite can affect the validity. And so, you know, we wanted to focus on the validity of the final composite performance measure rather than the components or just face validity. But I'll stop there and see if anyone wants to suggest a change to this or reaffirm that this is the direction we should be moving.
This is Liz. I like the way it's written.
Again, we'll follow up with you on this because I know that, as Patrick said at the outset, we know that we know we've had to work over the holidays to get this stuff out to you, but that's a different expectation than expecting you to do so as well. So I think that we'll regroup here and maybe follow up with you with some specific questions, ask you to take a look at what's in the comment table as well as this latest draft, and certainly feel free to send us anything, but I think we'll just need to digest some of the conversation we had, particularly about the classification, and make sure that we all get on the same page with that for moving forward. If any of you have any specific suggestions of what would be most useful to you in terms of us, you know, following up with you, we'd love to hear that because we want to make it as useful and as efficient as possible. Okay, well, if you know, if something does occur to you, we you know, welcome your suggestions and input, whether it's on the specifics already there or suggestions of how to move forward, we'd love to hear that. We will probably kind of get our thoughts together and regroup to see if we think we need another conference call or whether we can handle some of this, you know, through the sharing things through email and online. And I will stop there and see if any of you have any last comments or any other things you want to bring up that we haven't already brought up.
So what are the next steps again?
Well, that's, I think we need to regroup here a little bit to see what we think are the next steps. In general, the next steps are we have to finalize a document with the recommendations that will go to our Consensus Standards Approval Committee for approval. And so we want to make sure that it reflects the consensus of this expert panel. How best to accomplish that, I think, is what we need to think about. Obviously, you have a lot of materials, and you know, we would ask you to review those and send us any of your feedback. If we have specific questions that we, you know, really want to nail down, we'll send those to you. But again, if you have any suggestions and how that would be most useful to follow up with you, we'd love to hear those.
Thank you.
All right. And operator, you want to check one last time if there are any comments or questions from the audience?
Again, to ask a question, please press star one. You have no further questions.
Okay, well, I would like to thank the technical expert panel for all of your insights and questions and suggestions, and I'll thank you in advance for continuing to hang in there with us over the next few weeks so that we can get this right, and we'll follow up with you once we kind of regroup and have a plan on how to proceed, and you know, send us any suggestions. Okay, well, thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.